to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Leviticus with Pastor Dave. In today's study, in the book of Leviticus, Pastor Dave will be taking us through chapter 8, starting in verse 22, through chapter 10, ending in verse 3, where we see that putting our expectations in anyone besides Jesus will eventually let us down. However, if we keep our faith, trust, and expectation in Christ alone, God will not only never leave you, but He will see you through even the darkest of times. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in chapter 8 of Leviticus.
Jesus should cause my heart to pound all the harder, shouldn't He? He should excite you. Man, I can feel the blood pumping in my veins right now. Jesus, can you imagine? He's going to appear unto you. He's going to manifest himself to you. And I believe that the Lord was rewarding their obedience. They obeyed to the T all through chapter 8. As God was laying out the basis of their ministry, and now they're beginning their ministry in chapter 9, I believe that God was honoring those dozen times or so where it said, the Lord commanded, they did. The Lord commanded, they did. I believe God said, I'm going to reward you for that now. He always does that. Whenever we obey the Lord, we open the door for him to bless us. We give him opportunity. We clear the path for God to bestow his blessings on his beloved, because that's what God wants to do. He just wants to bless. And so when I'm obedient to him, I allow him to do what he wants to do to fulfill his heart's desire. And not only does he want to bless us, and don't think carnally with temporary things like a bigger and better house and a new jet ski or something like that. But what he wants to do is he wants to bless us with spiritual things and give us further revelation. He's going to show himself in a very peculiar way. We'll see this in just a minute here, to his people. And I believe it's the fruit of their obedience. It's the same for you and I. As we keep obeying God and we live yielded lives to him, and we receive his word and then we do his word, and we receive his word and then we do his word. It's a beautiful cycle, because the more we do it, the more we can see him. See, that's my thing. I want to see him. Nothing in this world is worth me not seeing Jesus. Nothing. Nothing in this world, no fleeting pleasure, no temporary sin is worth cramping my relationship with Jesus. I want to see him daily. I'm not satisfied. After tonight's over, I want to do a second service on Wednesday nights. I don't even want to go home. I want to see Jesus. I want to stay in his word. I want to worship him. I want to keep singing, let the world around me fade away. Jesus, draw me closer, because that's the melody of my heart. I want to see him. And the more that I obey him and yield my life to him, I'm going to see him. And so are you. The more that I receive his word at a Bible study, on the radio, my personal devotions, and I do his word, he's going to show himself to me faithfully. And what's so amazing about Jesus, this is my conviction, is we are forever going to look at him in awe, even in heaven one day. I believe this. I believe that literally, even when we get to heaven and we see him, we're still going to look at him with our jaws to the ground, because it's going to take us all of eternity we're never going to figure him completely out. I believe who he is and his majesty is endless. I really do. I think that's what's going to make heaven so glorious. Every time we look at him, we're just going to be like, oh. It's never going to be like, yeah, I've seen that one before, Lord. Show somebody else, you know. You first date somebody, you think, oh, I can't even eat in front of this person. I'll never forget the first time I took Sean out on a date. We were teenagers. I was like 17 years old. And I'll never forget when we were out to eat. We were at TGI Fridays. I know, I'm a big spender. And I was 17. What do you want from me? So we're at TGI Fridays, and I had a cold. And I always have sinus issues anyway, so it really doesn't matter. But I was eating something hot. You know what I was doing? I was finishing her soup on the first date. I'm like, don't get rid of that. The waitress came. She's like, I'm done. I'm like, no, you're not. Give that to me. And so I was beginning to eat her cheddar broccoli soup, and I'm eating it. And my nose just starts running like crazy. And I had no napkin, because I forgot why. I didn't have a napkin. So I'm starting to like go like this, and I'm trying not to let her see it. But at one point, I thought she wasn't looking, and I didn't realize it, man. It was like stuck to my hand, but still in my nose. And you're so embarrassed now. I'm just like, Shauna, check this out. Look, you know, because you get familiar. You don't care anymore. I know you. You know me. And it's like, but in the beginning, it's like, I can't. You're so perfect. I'm in love with you. And there's just such this infatuation. But the infatuation wears off after a while, doesn't it? And that's when a relationship is either, it's either made or it's broken. After, if you decide, I'm going to love this person, I'm going to work for this relationship. But with Jesus, that will never end. I really believe when we get to heaven, even when we see him and behold him, we're just going to still be in awe forever, for all of eternity, because we've never seen anybody like him before. We don't know anybody like him. Nobody has the attributes and characteristics that he does. Nobody's done for us what he has. Nobody. And I think that we're always going to look at him with wonder. I think we're always going to look at him with amazement. I think we're always going to be in love and obsessed with him, humanly speaking. The Lord's going to appear. You've been obedient. I'm going to bless you with further revelation and a greater manifestation. And it goes on to say in verse 5 that they brought that which Moses commanded. And you're going to see as we go through this chapter too that this is consistent through the chapter. As the Lord commanded, as Moses commanded. The reason being because in chapter 10, there's a big boo-boo made. We'll see that as we go here. And it says, as Moses commanded, verse 5, before the tabernacle congregation, all the congregation drew near and stood before the Lord. And Moses said in verse 6, this is the thing which the Lord commanded, that you should do, and the glory of the Lord shall appear unto you. And Moses said unto Aaron, verse 7, now he's turning the sacrificing over to him at this point. He says to him, go unto the altar and offer your sin offering and your burnt offering and make an atonement for yourself. I cannot emphasize this point enough. If you're here tonight and you are serving the Lord, if you're here tonight and you want to eventually serve the Lord, make note of what this says here, because if you're going to be used by God, you have to. Absolutely, 100%. Constantly make confession of your sin. You have no business standing in the gap on the behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ before humanity without pleading his blood first. If you're going to be used by God in any capacity, the children's ministry, in ushering and greeting, in the sound ministry, in the cafe, we want spirit-filled servants everywhere in this building. And if you expect this Holy Spirit of God to fill you afresh, then your sin needs to be dealt with daily. Aaron had to make confession. Aaron had to make sacrifice for himself before he did anything on behalf of the people. I cannot come up here. I cannot say this enough. I cannot come and stand here in this pulpit and talk to you about repentance and talk to you about sin and talk to you about a yielded life if I myself am not willing to do those very things. There will be no power behind it. There will be no Holy Spirit behind it. He will not anoint that word. There will be no unction from on high, which I desperately need if I'm going to do this job. There won't be any of it. If I myself am not willing to say, Lord, forgive me. God, cleanse my wicked heart. Cleanse my wicked mind. Forgive me for my misdeeds that I've done. And for the people, middle of verse 7, and offer the offering of the people and make an atonement for them as the Lord commanded. And Aaron, verse 8, therefore, went into the altar and he slew the calf of the sin offering, which was for himself. Again, all he is, all I am, all any man is besides Jesus Christ is just a sinner ministering to sinners. Please understand that. Because what happens is people put their expectation or hope in a man. They say, oh, that person's not fallible. They're infallible. That's the pastor. That's the worship leader. That's an elder at my church, man. They don't mess up. And then they see that person mess up. And then they get messed up because of that person's mess up. And they think, oh, I'm so stumbled right now. I can't believe that Pastor Dave, that he lost his cool with his kids. I didn't think he did that. Oh, I just saw, you know, one of the elders in the church or one of the worship leaders, man, I saw him kind of get snippety with his wife. Man, I didn't think that those guys did that type of stuff. We are made of the same 17 elements that you are made of, which are the same as the dirt outside of this building. We are all dirt bags filled with the Holy Ghost. Just a man. So as much as I long to say, like Paul, imitate me as I imitate Christ, do that with precautionary measures, understanding that at the end of the day that I am very likely to fail you. The only person that can't fail you or let you down is Jesus Christ. That's it. That's why you can. That's why I can say, and that's why you can do, you can put your full expectation in him, and you don't have to guard your heart. You don't have to think, am I going to get played by him? Is he going to hurt me? Is he going to burn me? Jesus Christ will never fail you. It's unfair to put your expectation in your husband. It's unfair to put your expectation in your wife. It's unfair to put your expectation in your parents, in your pastor, or anybody else besides Jesus Christ. You're putting a yoke upon somebody that they cannot bear. Only Jesus Christ cannot and will not ever fail you. So set your eyes on him, beloved. We go on to read in verse 9, the sons of Aaron brought the blood unto him, and he dipped his finger in the blood, and he put it upon the horns of the altar, and he poured out the blood at the bottom of the altar. But the fat, verse 10, and the kidneys, and the caul above the liver of the sin offering, he burnt upon the altar, I love it, as the Lord commanded him. And the flesh, verse 11, and the hide, he burnt with fire without the camp. And he slew and he burnt the offering, and Aaron's sons, verse 12, middle there, presented unto him the blood, which he sprinkled round about upon the altar. And they presented the burnt offering unto him with the pieces thereof, and the head, and he burnt them upon the altar. And he did wash the inwards, verse 14, and the legs, and burnt them upon the burnt offering on the altar. If you're wondering, why am I going so fast through these things, we've already covered them. So if you want to learn more about them, you can go through chapters 1 through 5 on the internet or get the CDs in the bookstore. But we want to get through these here and get to the end of chapter 9 and beginning of chapter 10. That's where God's Spirit really wants to speak to us tonight, I believe. So verse 15, he goes on to say here, they're going through the sacrifices. It says that he brought the people's offering and he took the goat, which was the sin offering for the people, and he slew it and he offered it for sin as the first. And in verse 16, he brought the burnt offering and he offered it according to the manner. And he brought the meat offering, verse 17, and he took a handful thereof, and he burnt it upon the altar beside the burnt sacrifice of the morning. And he slew, verse 18, also the bullock and the ram for a sacrifice of peace offerings, which was for the people. And Aaron's sons presented him the blood, which he sprinkled upon the altar round about. And the fat, verse 19, of the bullock and of the ram, the rump that was covered in the inwards and the kidneys and the caul above the liver. And they put the fat upon the breast, and he burnt the fat upon the altar. And the breast, verse 21, and the right shoulder, Aaron waved for a wave offering before the Lord, as Moses commanded. And Aaron lifted up his hand, verse 22, and no doubt it was a bloody hand at this point. Blood everywhere. He lifted up his bloody hand toward the people, and he blessed them. Now, we're not given here the exact blessing, but I believe it's found in Numbers chapter 6. You can make note of it, verses 22 through 27, because it tells us in these verses the blessing of Aaron and Moses to the people. And I'm sure that you're quite familiar with these verses. It says this, Numbers 6, 22, I'll read it to you. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron, unto his sons, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying to them, the Lord bless thee and the Lord keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Isn't that awesome? The Lord look upon them. Lord, show them your face. Make your face shine upon them. Lord, give them your peace. And there was this blessing pronounced by their new high priest, Aaron, as God gave them that word. And it's a word for us tonight. Let me read it to you again. The Lord bless thee. And the Lord keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. You would think that a man wrote this blessing. It's all for the benefit of a man. You would think that a man penned this blessing. Lord, make your face shine on me. Lord, be gracious to me. Lord, give me peace. But this prayer comes from the throne of God. This is the heart of your Savior for you tonight. And this came from, listen, all of the written word is inspired by the living word. This all came from the heart of Jesus Christ. What Moses penned here in Leviticus, there in Numbers 6, was inspired by the Spirit of God. This prayer of blessing, if you would, made by their high priest Aaron, was God's heart for his people. You would think that they were saying, Aaron, ask God to bless us. Ask God to make his face shine upon us. Ask God to be gracious to us. Ask God to give us peace. But God saying, no, no, no. I'm putting this on Aaron's heart to give it to you because this is my heart for you. What a great intercessor we have in Jesus Christ. I want to bless you, God said tonight. I want to make my face shine upon you. I don't want to hide my face from you. I don't want to darken my face from you. I don't want to turn my face from you. No, if anything, if there's a breach between us, it's because you're turning your face on me. I want to make my face shine upon you. I want my face to be engraved in your mind. I want me to be all that you think about. I want to give you peace. If you have no peace tonight, I'm the Prince of Peace. I want to give you peace. And I want to be gracious to you. I want to give you the riches at Christ's expense to you that you don't deserve. That's what God is all about in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. This is the heart of God. Aaron, this is my blessing for the people. I would be sitting there if I heard this blessing like, what? Aaron had to have written that. How could this be from God? This would be my exact petition. Amazing. I don't want to just breeze past these things. I think it's amazing. I think the love of Jesus is absolutely outstanding and astonishing. It absolutely blows me away that God, he delights in showing me mercy. Did you know that? Do you know that Micah chapter 7 says that God delights in showing you mercy? Do you know that he delights in taking your sins and casting them to the depths of the sea so they can be found no more? You know that. It should move you. It should minister to you. It should absolutely bless you and encourage you and be exhortative to you tonight as you contemplate these truths. This is what the Word of God declares. Aaron raises his bloody hand. How appropriate. Blood. That's what allowed that prayer to become a prophecy that was fulfilled one day on the cross. May the Lord bless you. What greater blessing is there than the cross of Calvary? May the Lord keep you. He can because of the blood of Jesus. Because it's not dependent upon your righteousness. It's not dependent upon your right doing. It's dependent upon him. He who started the good work will be faithful to complete it. Man. What a scene. Hollywood should get their hands on this portion of Scripture. Look at this here. He blesses the people, middle of verse 22, and it came down from offering of the sin offering and burnt offering and peace offering. And in verse 23, Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out. That's all we get. How unfair is that? It's like when sometimes me and Sean are talking in the kitchen. That's usually where we are. It's usually where I am, so she comes to me there, and that's usually where we speak. And my daughter, Olivia specifically, she's always trying to overhear our conversations, and she thinks she can figure it out. Always. And I feel that way right now in this. It's like Moses tells us that him and Aaron were in the tabernacle, middle of verse 23, and then they came out. He doesn't give us any detail of what they did there with the Lord. Don't you want to know? Anyone else know? I mean, I want to know. What was that like there? They go into the congregation with the Lord, and we don't have any detail of what took place there. It just said that he came back out in the middle of verse 23, and he blessed the people, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto the people, the Shekinah glory. And there, verse 24, came a fire out from before the Lord, and it consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat. The worship that God accepts is the worship that he prescribes. You see that? The fire coming out from God was an indication that I am blessed by this. I accept this. I'm in on this. That's the kind of worship we have to offer to him and give to him, is the worship he prescribes. And it says at the end there, verse 24, when all the people saw, they shouted for joy and they fell on their faces. What a scene. Great chapter to end, right? Great place to say, okay, we're done with Leviticus. Let's go to Numbers. Right? Why even go any further? This is amazing. God's there. The Shekinah glory is in the midst of his people. The fire comes out from the tabernacle, I believe from the Holy of Holies. Some say from heaven. It doesn't really matter. Nonetheless, it came from God. God's presence was there in the Holy of Holies between the two cherubims hovering over the mercy seat. So I believe that that's where it came from. And it shot out and it consumed the offering on the brazen altar that foreshadowed the cross of Calvary outside in the outer courts. And the people saw this, they experienced this manifestation of his glory, and they fell on their faces with joy, proclaiming blessings to his name. Isn't it a beautiful scene? And you would think now, we've experienced the glory of the Lord, now we've got to do everything we can to guard it, to protect it, to keep it, to maintain it, right? To secure it. But then there's chapter 10. We had the basis of their ministry in chapter 8. The beginning of their ministry, or the inauguration of their ministry, part 2 in chapter 9. And now in chapter 10, we have the breakdown of their ministry. The same day it started, by the way. We're still the same 24 hours that we started in chapter 9. God's there. He's in the midst. He's moving. He shows himself to his people. They fall down. They're worshiping. They're having an afterglow with literally God's spirit. You know, this is as good as it gets. It's heaven on earth. What makes heaven heaven? What constitutes heaven to be heaven? God's presence, as far as I'm concerned. He's there. He's in the midst of his people. He's showing them his glory. And then there's chapter 10, verse 1. And Nadab and Abihu, which were Aaron's eldest boys, the sons of Aaron, they took either of them his censer or their little incense pots, and they put fire therein. In the middle of verse 1 of chapter 10, it says, and they put incense thereon, and they offered strange fire before the Lord. Now, depending on the translation or version of scriptures you're using right now, if you're New King James, I believe it says profane fire. If you're using the nearly inspired version, or I mean the NIV, it probably says unauthorized fire. If you're using the New Living Translation, it says wrong kind of fire. Nonetheless, this wasn't fire from God. I like King James, strange. It's good enough, isn't it? It's strange fire. It's not fire prescribed by God. And it did not come from the Lord, but they brought it before the Lord, which he commanded them not. So the number one issue so far with their sacrifice, with their efforts of offering, was their presentation. Their presentation was wrong. We'll talk about that more as we go. And it says in verse 2 that there went out fire from the Lord, and it devoured the sacrifice. No. Same word as we saw in chapter 9 when it did devour the sacrifice, where it was used as consumed, but this time it consumed the offerers. It devoured them, and they died before the Lord.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday at Calvary Chapel Westside. Our Sunday morning services are 9 and 11 a.m. We'd also love for you to refuel with us at our midweek study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Calvary Chapel Westside is located at 2407 Union Street in Spencerport, New York. If you'd like to know more about CC Westside, you can log on to our website at ccwestside.com. That's ccwestside.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Vimeo, where you can access videos of Pastor Dave's teachings. If you'd like to contact us, simply give us a call. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. Again, that's 585-352-3150. Or send us an email. We would love to hear from you. Our email address is radio@ccwestside.com. That's radio@ccwestside.com. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It is our prayer that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ. Let it ride ahead.